This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares one of the three segments of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Most of the members of the Town Council, selected guests, and town administration personnel were in the council chambers. At least one member of the council was remote, along with the public, via Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the full 2-hour and 45-minute meeting into three logical segments. First covers the opening through the finance and borrowing update discussion, approximately 53 minutes. Second covers the stormwater utility fee discussion, approximately 1 hour and 12 minutes. And third covers from the subcommittee reports through legislation for action to the close of the meeting, approximately 40 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, including documents released for this agenda. Let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of February 3rd, 2021.
Moving on to subcommittee reports. Capital, I don't believe.
We haven't met.
Okay. Budget, I don't believe
they've
met either. Economic development, Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We met before, the EDC met right before this meeting today, February 3rd, and we discussed, it was almost another listening session. It was very interesting. We discussed the craft brewery bylaw, and what we could do to help and food trucks and things like that. So it was very interesting, and it was great. There were a lot of people that tuned into it, and I'd like to thank everybody for being there. It was good.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. The fourth subcommittee or ad hoc committee report is being put off till the next agenda.
Yes, sir.
At the request of the chairman of the Town Administrative Evaluation Ad Hoc Subcommittee. That report will be sent out to the council prior to our next meeting and will be voted on at our next meeting.
Got it.
Okay, moving on. Legislation for action. Bylaw Amendment 21-869, Chapter 82, Municipal Service Fees, Section 82-6, Schedule of Service Fees, Subsection F, Fire. First reading. Clerk will read the bylaw amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is bylaw amendment 21-869. It's Chapter 82, Municipal Service Fees, a bylaw to amend the Code of the Town of Franklin. At Chapter 82, to be enacted by the Franklin Town Council, that Chapter 82 of the Code of the Town of Franklin is amended at Section 82-6, Schedule of Service Fees, Subsection F, Fire, by striking existing language and replacing as set out below. Subsection 82-6, Schedule of Service Fees, F, Fire. The service fee is such: ambulance fees, ALS base rate number one. The original rate was $2,329, to be changed to $2,420. ALS base rate number two, original $3,420, to be changed to $3,571. BLS rate, original rate of $1,477, to be changed to $1,553. Commercial and care facility without transport will not change at $935. Mileage will be changed from $36.12 to $37.31. This bylaw amendment shall become effective on and after April 1st of 2021.
Motion to move bylaw amendment 21-869 to a second reading.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion.
Well,
Chief. Our fire chief is here, Chief McLaughlin. Thank you for sitting through our discussions for the last couple of hours.
So, good evening. As this council did last year at this time, we made an adjustment to this fee to reflect the 50% mark of our billing company, the top 50 customers that they serve, that we would be in the median of that price range. We did that last year. I guess prior to that, we might have fell a few years prior to that, fell back. to what our colleagues throughout the area were doing, our abutting communities. So we did that last year. The ComStar, which is our company, every year at the end of the year, they give us a new schedule, rate schedule of what that median is. They do that in January. So in talking with the town administrator, we felt that it would be prudent to make this adjustment every year about this time to maintain that consistent middle of the road of the top 50 customers to maintain that rate going forward. So there'd be no other years in the future that would have to come back and have a more significant increase in the future. So that's what we had to do, exactly what we did last year at the same time, to maintain that same percentage.
Thank you, Chief. Jamie, anything to add?
No, I just want to throw in there that this is the kind of stuff that we talked about during collective bargaining a while ago, in terms of empowering the departments to make some of these decisions. This was originally actually an idea that came out of the lower ranks in the fire department. They brought it to us. Last year, we took a huge step up to catch up. I would argue at the 50% level, I think we've all decided is really where we always want to be. Why? There's a mutual aid call and our resident goes to another town, they got to pay that, you know, they got to end up paying that increased rate. But if we have to have a mutual aid call come here to get a discounted rate is not just, in my opinion. It's just not fair. And, you know, costs obviously are going up in the department like they always do. It's not like recycling where it ebbs and flows and right up and down. And fortunately, this year we haven't had to come for a recycling increase. But the fixed costs in the department obviously are going to keep this escalating. So we've had that goal of trying to maintain right in the middle of the pack. So we're not expensive, but we're not also low. I think this is a sound idea to come in. If the company's coming in every January, I think this is something we should look at prior to the budget year and make any adjustments as we all see fit as a group. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, one quick question. I see the collections rate dropped 17% this year.
Through the chair, Mr. Councilman, what I tried to do with those two sheets is give a snapshot of April 1st to 12/31 of both 19 and 20.
Yeah.
Because that's when the rates went in effect in April. If you notice on the 2020 chart, the percent collected is not at the 87%, which is the norm. It's at 70% because we're so far. It was too early in 2021 to recapture all that, but that number will be more to 87% once all that collections is done. So that true number is not 1.027, it'll be more like 1.270 is great. What the projection would be.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, all set, Councilor Chandler. Any other questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to move bylaw amendment 21-869 to a second reading. A majority roll call vote's required. Clerk will call the roll.
Angelo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Asante.
Aye.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
That's 8-1 absent, sir.
Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thanks, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Town Administrator's report.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. So COVID updates real quick. As you know, we don't talk percentages, colors on the maps anymore. What we talk about is vaccine. I am proud to announce I sent to all of you and put out publicly last week. Just want to encourage anybody at home, you know, can call the Board of Health as well as the Senior Center. We have a vaccine rollout webpage that is up and going in terms of where the town is at with its vaccine rollout. As that website says, we do not have any doses. The town of Franklin does not. We have a space that we have ready for a clinic. We have the second shots coming for the fire and police and first responders of those five towns. On February 10th and February 17th, there will not be any additional or extra doses available to the public at those clinics. The fire chief and the Board of Health and Senior Center have gone up and developed a pop-up site at the Senior Center. We are preparing to get, in all likelihood, hopefully in a week, our first 100 doses to be able to give to folks over the age of 75 per the state regulations. And I just want to urge everybody out there, I know this has been a very, very difficult rollout. Bumpy would be a very kind word to use, in my opinion. But there is a supply and demand issue from the federal to state government. The state government is deciding on how to use those doses and distribute them. We can all question those policies. I certainly have. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to go in and get a site approved. So our high school gym is an approved site by the state of Massachusetts. At this point, we're ready to rock. We know that our paramedics are ready to go. We've done two trial runs. We're going to do two more in a couple weeks. We know that we can get several hundred people done in a day. At this point, we just need the doses. So this first order went in this week. And hopefully in future weeks, that number that we're allowed, our ration, if you will hopefully increase. You know, I've been hearing about this wartime production thing at the federal level. I just hope it works. I hope whoever's in Moderna and Pfizer is working 24/7 to make this stuff. Because at the end of the day, as you look out into the future, there's no question that the vaccine rollout is our greatest economic development initiative that could go on right now. It's really the everything initiative. It's the key to getting kids in schools, key to getting people back in their jobs, key to getting out of the house. And I sincerely hope that the federal and state government pick up the pace real quick. It's frustrating for me to editorialize quickly, knowing that our team's ready to go. We have no other impediments or roadblocks. We've got the high school gym, the custodians, and the whole team is just ready to go. And to feel as if we can't get 500 doses a week or 300 to service people right now over the age of 75 in Franklin is incredibly frustrating. And so we are where we're at. And we'll try to continue to update that website. We do have, for the folks watching at home, they can, if they're over the age of 75, they can call the senior center. They are taking names and numbers, and they are compiling a list. And there will also be a form sent out electronically later on Friday to start getting prepared for what we hope will be in future weeks, more doses that we can administer here in Franklin. Unfortunately, I have to say at this time, you know, the best advice I can give people is to check out the links at Gillette Stadium. They have increased some capacity. I have heard many stories of random people getting them somehow through the VA. I think there's also been some stumbling blocks to the VA. And I have heard there are a lot of doses that are going out to rest homes and through other channels at hospitals. So call your primary care. While primary care physicians have generally said, don't call us. I know of stories where people have called primary care physicians and they've known where 100 doses are at a hospital or someplace else within Metro West. So I just urge everybody out there to be patient, but persistence will certainly help. I know many people of them who have been very persistent in the chase to get a dose and get high up on the list. Those folks have actually gotten a shot. And so I just encourage people to just keep trying every day. And to do the best they can. And of course, my staff, Chrissy and Alicia, are answering the phones and answering these questions. So if anybody has any questions out there, please feel free to call the office or the senior center, and all the staff are prepared to answer people's questions. So obviously it's on the agenda. If folks have questions, we can have a discussion about it. But that's about the best I got right now.
Just quick, because obviously you're well aware I'm as frustrated as you are. We, you and I converse on this at least twice a day, every day, asking for updates, or me asking for updates, trying to get the information out to the community. When you spoke about the list being compiled at the Senior Center and the Board of Health, I think it, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, once that list is compiled, they'll be looking at oldest, even over the over 75, just because you signed up first or second, they're going to be looking at oldest to youngest. Am I not correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. It's an excellent point. We have gone to the street listing. Thank God for the street listing. Yes. Got great information in there. You know, we are going to go right now. We're going to use those doses for the oldest residents and work back. Right now, we're basically looking at over 90 years old for potentially for that first round in a week and a half when we're able to have that pop-up site. So, you know, hopefully we're going to be able to make the case for more. We've put in the order, and we'll see what the state says shortly, but
and just so everybody understands, we were told that we were going to get 100 doses. That's all.
Every
100 town. Doses. And from there, because of a couple of other things that have changed, and these things are changing daily, which is why I said Jamie and I are talking twice a day, because they're changing things twice a day. But there's a possibility of us getting another 200. So a week from now, we could have 300 doses. We have 4,000 or 5,000 people over 75.
That's right.
In the town of Franklin. And we're going to get 300 doses. And the next week, we're not promised any more than 300 doses. And it's not just Franklin. It's everywhere. And if you look at the numbers across the state, and this is where Jamie and my frustration, and we go back and forth with this daily, is there are over 100,000 doses, or I'm sorry, 1,000,000 doses that Massachusetts has. And this was a day or two old. But we've administered 510,000. And it's not that anything's happened to the other 500,000 doses, but for some reason, we are having logistic issues in getting those 500,000 doses out to the taxpayers of the state of Massachusetts. I don't understand it. And it is frustrating. And I know we're talking to our legislators on a daily basis. We've written letters. We call. And it's as frustrating as it is to our seniors in town, as well as everybody else. Why can't I get a shot? We don't have good answers for you. I know, and just a quick personal experience for the people at home, my mother's 92 years old, and we called Gillette Stadium and got on that website, fought our way through it, got her an appointment last Saturday, and she was in and out of there in 20 minutes.
I heard that.
20 minutes, it was done, and she got her shot. So they're doing a great job over there, and they're getting, if I'm not mistaken, Chief, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, I think in the vicinity of 10,000 doses a week is what they're getting at Gillette, and probably the same at Fenway Park. So there are these sites that you can go to, but not all of our seniors can get to Gillette Stadium. We need to help them get their vaccine here and as fast as we possibly can. And I want our residents to know we're doing everything within our power to get that vaccine here as soon as we possibly can. And we are prepared to give. We've got the high school approved. We've got the senior center approved. All our paramedics are ready to go. We just need the vaccine. Sorry, I got on a bandwagon, but.
That was great. I don't know if anybody else has questions.
Does anybody else have any questions? I'm sorry. Councilor Kelly.
Just a quick one. Have we talked to Gatra to see if there is a senior who actually gets on the list at Gillette? We can get them to there if
they're not drivers. Yeah, that's correct, Councilor Kelly. Dial a ride is being coordinated with the senior center.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Question.
Any other questions on that piece?
Actually, I just wanted one more thing.
Go ahead.
On that note, Councilor Kelly, you and I have talked about this. We have been approved to be able to do transport.
Yes.
So if somebody on that list that when they go down the age is homebound in some sort of way, or the senior center knows about that situation, and the next one, you know, we are trying to logistically plan to see if we can do, you know, the regulations on the vaccine, you got to use it within a certain amount of time. There's obviously a lot of factors in it, but we are investigating and looking at seeing if we can make that delivery so that that individual on a snowy, freezing day doesn't have to come out. So no commitment firmly, but we are looking into it and we're hopeful that that will work.
Thank you, Jamie.
Councilor DeLarco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jamie, if we do get up and running, and we do have to use these dosage in doses in so many times, and maybe the fire chief can help us. I know in other areas, I know we're doing it at Massport, we're doing it at Fenway and Reggie Lewis. Are you going to make a second list? Because if you do not use all those, say 100 or whatever, say we've got 50 people coming today and only 35 show up. I know other places are making a secondary list where you can go on a secondary list. Say you're 72 or my brother 73, could he get on the list? And then you would call him and say, yeah, we have a dose. Come to the senior center or come to the high school. I know a lot of other towns and a lot of places are doing that. I don't know if we're going to do it. I'm just
already done it, but okay. Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I know
we've already done it. And actually, yeah. Within the regulations, you can't just do anybody, but within the regulations, like for example, just to illustrate your point is exactly right. We had X amount of people scheduled. Five people don't show up on the day they're supposed to, even if they're firefighters or paramedics, there's a run, you know, whatever the dynamic is. We have those people. But that's how we were able to do the school nurses, the nurses at Tri-County, as well as the nurses at the charter school in the first part of the first responders, because that's what the state allowed us to do. So every time the state allows the opening of the door a little and says, oh, this category of people can go, this next category of people can go, we get that. We put it right in there on the list so that Kathy or the appropriate people can make those calls. Even if it's just one dose, right? We know exactly who the next people up are in the list.
Okay.
And be able to get in there to make sure we don't waste it.
No, I know we talked about it, but I just wanted to make sure the public knows about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you, Councilor DeLarco. Any other questions? Jamie, second part?
Just wanted quickly on the budget calendar. Just want to let everybody know that the governor's budget was released last week. He did it on a hell of a day, but he did release his budget. So far, the analysis looks neutral for the town of Franklin. Not great, but it's not going to do any additional damage to the town's local aid contribution for fiscal year 22. As a result, I've spent the last 2 weeks meeting with departments on their budget requests. The next couple weeks, we're going to finish up the rest of the departments, and we'll be looking to have a public update on the FY22 budget, probably somewhere in early March, like we traditionally do. Mm-hmm. The good news is we're right back on schedule, unlike last year, so we're still aiming to have the budget debate right before Memorial Day. And just finally, if anybody has any questions on the budget, I'm sure like all of us, we know that she's watching. I just want to send all of our love to the Pellegrini family tonight and hope all is well. And we're thinking of you. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay. Any questions on budget calendar? Okay. Future agenda items. Councilor Chandler.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah. I talked about this. There's a few things going on with trails in town, and I'd love to see a presentation on just the state of our trails and public recreation in town.
We have recreation planned for.
We do not have recreation, the department planned, but we are working on an open space and trails related update coming out at the appropriate time shortly.
Yep. That would be great. Thanks.
Anything else, Councilor Frangillo?
That's it.
Councilor Bazanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I sat in on a very exciting tech review meeting today. I haven't had a chance to share it with, it just happened this afternoon with Jamie and the tech review. And this is possible redevelopment for the Depot Plaza, Acapulco's building, underground parking garage, 4 stories up, and retail on the first floor. I mean, I'm hoping it can happen. I'm hoping it can be a collaborative effort with planning board and the EDC and this council. They will need some, it's a tremendous, a lot of moving parts of this, and all the stars have to line up, but I think it will turn the center of town around. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Really not a future agenda item.
Oh, I'm just saying, it will be probably,
understood.
Yeah.
Understood. Councilor Kelly.
Two items, Mr. Chairman. One of them is not really a future agenda item, but I wanted to bring it up during future agenda.
Sure.
Okay. There's a stoplight at Washington and King Street that needs to be repaired. It's becoming a problem with citizens coming from South Street that way. So if you could look into
that. Is that an echo?
It has been requested.
Thank you. And then I think we need to have a conversation with the planning department on our density calculations for zoning. And I think we should put that on a future agenda item.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Jones.
No future agenda. Sir.
Councilor DeLarco.
No, nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope everybody watched the roundtable discussion on racism that Councilor Frangillo was a part of. And it sort of made me think about if any of our bylaws had any racial inequalities in them, inequities in them. And I was wondering if we could make sure that there's a study done and maybe to make sure that there are no inequities in our bylaws, just, and maybe we could have a presentation to show people that that we're looking at it and we're cognizant that that potentially exists. And if it doesn't, that's wonderful. And if it does, we should change it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. And I don't have anything for future agenda, so we'll go to Councilor comments. Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, a few. One was, that video. That was a conversation that I had had with some students in November that was really impactful to me and powerful to me at the time. And I knew that it was going to be made into a video, and so it finally got released. So if you haven't seen it yet, a roundtable on race in Franklin, you can look that up on YouTube. I think it's a really important thing for everyone to watch, as many people as we can in Franklin. It's people sharing their experience of what it was like to grow up with different backgrounds in Franklin, and it's not they're not experiences that are frequently in conversation. I think it's really important for us to reflect on ourselves and the systems that we create and the impact that they're having on different people growing up in town. Two other things. Project Envoy, I mean, that thing is amazing. This is the Interfaith Council put together a project where each day a certain money, if you go to a certain restaurant, a certain amount of that money goes to the food pantry. It helps our local businesses, helps the food pantry. Today's Acapulco's. I'm pretty sure I have some waiting for me at home. I'm very excited. And then the final thing, and this just came up today, is I got an email from someone pretending to be Chair Mercer. So this is just like a heads up for all of you guys that we had the phishing conversation a few months ago. It's very real and kind of scary. Looking to build trust and asking if I could do a task quickly for them. Yeah, pretty scary stuff. But a heads up to all of you.
And Councilor Frangillo had called me before he obviously opened the email and asked me.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was not from me. Okay, thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Bizanti, Councilor comments?
I think we beat Jamie up enough tonight, but I think I'd be remiss in saying I fielded quite a few calls about the snowstorm. Sorry, I mean, I know it's just one of those things. The quality of the snow plowing seemed a little bit pedestrian or amateurish. Snow piles in the middle of the road. Again, this morning, everything looked a lot cleaner. I watched the video and I discussed it with Kobe. I thought it was a very good quality video, very professionally done. And I was very touched at some of the stories and anecdotal stories that the students mentioned. And I responded to the person that sent it to me, and I definitely think a discussion and conversation needs to continue in this town regarding racism and inequality. So but as an Italian American, I've been the victim of it myself. So I responded accordingly to the person that sent it to me and commended them on a job well done and bringing light to something I was not aware of being that intense in Franklin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bizanti. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you. Kobe, next time I ask you for $5,000 before you call the chairman, could you just send it to me?
Yeah.
It'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Bro, so, just respond to any email. It's M.A. Kelly.
Sure. But, yeah. But no, all seriousness. Just my thoughts and prayers are with the Pellegri family. Debbie is a good friend, and the family's a good friend, and I just thinking about him a lot today, and I hope everything is well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, definitely, I'll reiterate about the prayers go out to Pellegris. I'm glad everything's going well. I usually don't talk about anything out of town, but I just wanted to mention this. The Capitol Police Officer Brian Sitnick, he was the one killed in the insurrection when they attacked the Capitol. And he laid in honor today, and there was a service for him. And I just was thinking about him and everything all those guys went through down there. And I hope his family's okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kobe Mel, I haven't had a chance to watch the video yet. I'll definitely take some time to watch the video. It sounds really interesting. Kobe, in regards to your comment about the email, and we were talking about phishing and other stuff, you may recall at the beginning of the January, I got hacked. Somebody used my debit card. Remember that little shenanigans?
Yeah.
Well, last week, probably midday last week, end of last week, I got a phone call from the Small Business Administration, called me up to say, Mr. Jones, you're the owner of Excalibur Electrical. I go, yeah. Are you looking to take out a loan for government funds, for recovery funds in order to support your small business? I said, no. He goes, good, because I checked, you got a flag on your, because I called the credit bureau and said, make sure that any inquiries into my credit report get flagged. And he says, we're calling to verify because you made that report. What's it called? The fraud alert to the credit card companies. Because of that, they called me to verify that this loan was legit. It was not. And so that was another one that I caught. So people have really taken advantage of the situation out there. So I was lucky to have that avoided.
Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, sorry.
You keep trying.
Yes. Yeah. You would know my middle name. condolences to the Pellegri family.
Before I get an email tomorrow, I'm just kidding.
On a serious note, some of you might have heard I posted something on Facebook last week, and then I wanted to bring it up today only for the simple fact that I don't think I'm going to be able to go to his wake tomorrow, which really makes me really, really sad. Most of you know about my efforts as a missionary, as top of all the many things that I do. I am a missionary to Haiti. I haven't, unfortunately, had the ability to go to many other countries, but a gentleman who I met 12 years ago when I first started on my adventures down to Haiti, as well as other mission work, both locally and abroad. My good friends, Pastor Scott Long passed away last week from complications due to COVID. Heart issues as well as respiratory issues. He was on a respirator. He was having some struggles. I can't express how hard that is for me, because he did so much for so many people. There are so few people I've met in my life who have helped, not helped a few people, but have helped potentially upwards of hundreds of thousands of people in his efforts. He gave his livelihood. He owned 6 businesses and gave up his livelihood to support building orphanages in Haiti, Albania, Kosovo, southern part of America's. I mean, his. It's hard to explain what this person did, not just for me, but for so many people in this world, to have somebody stricken down for all the things that he's done so well in his life at the age of 53 by a silly virus is just, it's heart wrenching. And his legacy for me is going to be hard to live up to, as well as the countless souls, orphans, missionaries and people around the world. It's a tremendous loss, and I feel sad because I probably won't be able to attend his wake tomorrow for the simple fact that it's just too much of a risk for me to visit that. But I wanted to mention that today, and just say how much I'm going to miss him. That's about it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, to Councilor Jones, my condolences on your loss. It's hard for me to have to speak after you, but seriously, that was what a wonderful person you knew. To Councilor Pellegrini, I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you and your family, and I know everything will be okay. And I wanted to let people know that if veterans know that if you're actually already getting care from a VA facility, that you can call the Bedford VA and see if you can get a vaccine. So they have vaccines, they just don't have the people to call everyone yet. And my dad, who's 95 and a World War II vet, got his first vaccine on Saturday. Yay.
Awesome.
So stay safe out there, everyone. And stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor DeLorco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, condolences to Councilor Jones for his friend. That is hard, my friend. And obviously to Debbie and Ronnie. Ronnie, get healthy fast, as soon as possible. I heard you're home, so I expect you at the coffee shop tomorrow. But but no, I hope you get better as fast as you can. Kobe, I did not listen to that. Yeah, I didn't have time to listen to that. But if they want to sit down with somebody that was a freshman during desegregated busing, and they had to go through metal detectors every morning, and have the Boston TPF line the corridors of your school before you went into school, I'll gladly sit down with them and we can talk to them. Might be able to bring some light to some of their stuff if you would like me to. And everyone else can just please stay safe and hope we can get through this vaccination stuff and get back to life. I think everybody in the world has just about had enough of it. I can see around the room, I think everybody can. I think our council meetings have gone longer because it's the only social life we have. So.
So, I'm just waiting for the catering. Where's the catering?
Let's get through this. Stay safe. And again, if you know somebody that has an addiction, please go talk to them. It's been very tough for them, especially the alcoholism. We've been seeing a lot of that. So please lend a hand out to them. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilor Blanco. Obviously, condolences, Councilor Jones, on your loss. I knew the gentleman meant an awful lot to you and to many others as well. And a speedy recovery to my friend Ronnie Pellegrini. The coffee shop isn't the same without you holding court. So we're hoping you'll be back very soon. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Non-debatable. Clerk will call the roll.
Congillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Santi.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Allegri's absent. Jones, yes. DeLorco.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes. Thank you, one and all.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.